G'day everybody. Welcome to Tactical Tennis Podcast. My name's Glenn Hill, and I think Grigor Dimitrov is going to be a multiple Grand Slam winner.
And I'm Jacob Meyer, and I think you're just a little bit crazy right now.
Well, let's talk about why. I mean, Dimitrov is 14-1 on the year so far. He's won two out of the first three tournaments that he's played. Obviously, playing very good tennis. But this is a guy, if we go back in multiple years, I mean, reference his nickname, Baby Fed, as he was once upon a time called.
Baby Federer.
Right. I mean, there's a reason for that, obviously. There's a very, I don't even know how to describe it, almost clinical copying of much of Federer's technique that's very visible. I actually wrote a couple articles about that going back a couple years.
Yeah, I mean, okay, first of all, to anyone who's listening, Glenn made this call, like he told me this a couple of weeks ago, before Grigor made it to the semifinals of the Aussie, okay? So at first I just brushed it off, but then I realized that he was actually serious about this. You really think that Grigor is going to win?
Yes, dead right, I'm serious.
Multiple slams.
I think this is going to be a fabulous year for the guy, and I think he's going to win multiple slams. I'm not saying he's going to win multiple slams this year. But I'm saying between now and when Grigor retires, he's going to win multiple Grand Slams. It's not going to be a flash in the pan win. It's not going to be, you know, two slams separated by 4 or 5 years. I think he's going to be a force to be reckoned with for the next 4 or 5 years straight.
Now, are we including like mixed doubles slam victories?
No, we're talking
in this
about
count?
Men's singles Grand Slam titles. Okay,
because he could be an animal in mixed doubles. I could totally see that.
Well, sure, no, but men's singles Grand Slam titles, right?
So,
yeah.
He does have the nickname Baby Fed. I think that came along because he was working with Peter Lundgren at an age where Lundgren worked with Federer at a similar age.
But I think it's more because of the technique similarities. I mean,
he has this uncanny resemblance to Fed when he moves doing certain things.
Sure.
But I think that there's a fundamental way in which the way he goes about hitting the ball is very different to Federer. Okay?
Okay.
And, you know, I might lose some people here, but in...
You're losing me a little bit already, I'm not going to lie.
In short, I think, like, Federer is what I would call, like, more rotation-based. And then now both guys rotate, but Federer is more rotation-based, where I think Grigor is a linear guy. So his strokes are like...
What do you mean by a linear guy? Let's talk about that for a second.
So Federer hits the ball in a sense from a different place than really I think almost anyone else on the tour. Like, everything for him starts pretty tight and close to his body, and then as he rotates, opens up and extends away. Whereas, like, Grigor is a more... traditional, like, long through the ball.
See, I'm not sure. Did you read my article? I mean, we've got frame by frame comparison. I mean, his forehands are almost technically identical to Federer's.
Right. When you look at, say, like,
they're incredibly similar strokes.
Yes, absolutely. And the backhand is incredibly similar too. I think Grigor's is in some ways probably a better backhand. Which I think you came to that same conclusion.
Yeah, I agree. I think people aren't going to like that very much, but I think it's true nonetheless.
But from a technical perspective, I think he does.
Okay.
What I'm talking about is kind of like the source in his body of that movement is the way I look at it, and the way I see it as someone who specializes in movement, it comes from a different place.
Okay. Well, that's,
even
that's
the,
maybe
the technique is really,
a whole
really
different argument to be had. In a future discussion. But let's talk about Grigor as a player and why you don't think he's going to win multiple slams and why I think he will.
Well, let's start
because, I mean,
you.
I think we're past the baby fed stage. I mean,
you
I
have
think,
to
like,
Yeah, the reason that I bring that up is because to me the whole way that I see his game influences how I see his whole career unfolding. Like,
sure,
I think
and that's
he's going
enough,
to be
but...
a top 10 guy. Like, I think he can be a top 10 guy. I think
he's
going to be
top
10 this year, yeah. But, I mean, you know, there's a difference between, like, Grigor, who got into the top 10. He got to number 8. It's been almost 2.5 years now. I think it was back in 2014, 14.
Sure.
And, you know, he got up there. He was there for a little while, but then obviously he fell well out of there versus someone who, like a David Ferrer, who's like, you know, top
Right.
seven for
he was a staple there for some time.
Yeah. Or, and because what you're saying is that Grigor is going to be, like, Grigor's going to have a better career than, like, Andy Roddick, who was top 10 for a decade.
Well, that's
slam,
again, I think a separate
finals.
Argument. Well, because are we going to, you know, it depends. Are we going to argue about what makes a career? Is it the number of slam titles? Is it how long you spend in the top five?
Well,
I mean, this
right,
is
so,
that's a whole separate. But I think he is going to end up with more single slam titles than Roddick did, yes.
I mean, how
I
many
do
guys,
believe that.
You know, how many guys have won multiple slams and not made it to number one? I don't know the answer to that question.
I mean, Wawrinka would be the... I mean, he's the most recent example.
He's, what, number three right now?
Is he that high? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think he would be probably three. Yeah, but he's the most obvious example to me. And I don't think Wawrinka ever will get number one. I think he's going to be a multiple slam winner who never reaches number one.
Really?
Rafter was number one for, like, literally 1 week. And he got two
but
slams.
That was after his career. Like, he didn't even know.
Right, yeah. There was a glitch in the ranking system, and he literally was number one for a single week, and he never even knew until after he'd retired. But yeah, so he's almost another example. I mean, it's not a lot. It doesn't happen very often. There's not a lot of people out there for whom that's true. And I'm not saying. So I guess that the argument whether or not Dimitrov will ever get to number one is that's a good question. Although that depends on. You know, Tim and, you know, Zverev and some of these other up-and-coming players. But I do think he's going to win multiple slams, and here is why, okay? I mean, I think you want me to prove that he's going
to
do it or explain
why. Yeah, I think
why.
You have to
convince
you.
You
have to convince me that a guy who has not even... I mean, I don't... Did he play London that year? I don't think he played London. Like,
right.
He hasn't even
no,
made it to
out.
The Tour Finals.
Yeah, I know. Well,
and,
hey.
You know, he's 25 years old.
Right.
And he seemed, you know, for most of his career not to have maybe some sort of something in between the ears kept him from being up there. It's not like
right.
he isn't physically talented enough.
Right. Well, I mean, I think, well, let's start with the physical talent. I mean, the guy is a phenomenal athlete. I think he's athletic in a way that goes far beyond what most people would realize or give him credit for.
Yes.
Right?
Totally.
I mean, I think
he is a way better athlete than even the other guys on the tour realize.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a very, very short list of people I think that are comparatively athletic to him. He doesn't quite, and I think I've mentioned this before, he doesn't quite have Federer's what I'll call grace, which really is my word for a neurological competency when it comes to judging distance and optimizing foot placement and step length, stride length, these kinds of things when moving to balls. But, I mean, I think there is... I could think of a small handful of people that would be even on the same scale as him when it comes to athleticism. Gael Monfils would be an example of somebody I think is, you know, of a similar athleticism. And people are probably going to laugh at that. I mean, I think Gael's athleticism is obvious. I mean, he goes out and court and literally tries to showcase it to the world every time he plays a match.
Right.
And I think, you know, it's a big part of why he hasn't had more success. But, you know, he's phenomenally athletic. He is technically... extremely competent. I won't even say competent. He is technically an excellent player. He has a very clean, very effective, powerful forehand that he can achieve a lot of variety with. He can do anything with the ball on that side.
Wait, who are we talking about now?
We're still talking about Dimitrov.
Okay.
Right? I'm convincing you why he's going to win multiple slams. He has a great one-handed backhand. He has a very, very good slice. He's competent around the net in a way that goes beyond. When I say competent, I mean, you know, I... serve in volley tennis, paid for my undergraduate degree. You understand that to me, that's not just like, okay, he knows how to volley. Like, that means he's a pretty dang good volleyer.
That's a compliment.
That's a compliment.
Most, to put this in perspective, most ATP guys are not competent around
not,
the net.
Not in my book, no. I mean, the majority of them are not. I mean, I guess that's probably a fair thing to say.
No,
like,
they're not.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
There's a lot of guys that just don't really. When we compare it to, you know, the era when we had a lot more serve volley tennis, I mean, I think the skill level, the average skill level has gone down dramatically. But it's not just that. And here's why I think there's two big reasons why Dimitrov is going to win multiple slams, and they're both on showcase since the first of this year. So let's recap. The guy's 14-1 this year. He's won two titles. His only loss has come at the hands of Rafael Nadal at the semifinals of the Australian Open, a match that he came within probably a single point of winning, right?
Yes.
But so here's the thing to me. One, his serve. He's always had a very big serve, and I think some of that ties into his athleticism. I think his technique isn't quite as clean as like Roger Federer's, for example, but it's always been very fast and a relatively heavy serve. I say relatively.
Heavy?
Yeah, I mean, I think he gets a decent rotation on the ball.
Come on.
Look, relatively. I said relatively, okay? I said okay. Relatively. But anyway, look, but here's the big thing. Through three tournaments this year, Dimitrov is serving at 65% first serves. 65% first serves, and the guy is bombing aces into corners. Okay? He's already hit 142 aces, and it is February 13th.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a huge number. And when you watch him play, he's just dropping aces left, right, and center. But again, I'm going to come back to this 65% first serves. That's an amazing number. At the level that he's playing at and that he's already got as many matches as he has under his belt, I mean, that's across a span of a month now. He's serving that percentage. This isn't a flash in the pan, I'm having a good week. He's been serving excellently for 5 weeks on tour now. That kind of number, if he puts up that number and manages to stay anything like it. And to put in perspective, like Federer's career first serve percentage is around 63%, right? Right. You know, so I mean, 65% is excellent. And he's serving big. And then this is the second piece of the puzzle, is he's playing smarter. This is not the Grigor Dimitrov that we've seen in years past, who I think has always had a phenomenal talent level, right? I mean, I think he's always had the talent to play some amazingly good tennis, but what we have seen from him traditionally is just a lack of cohesion. And I mean, he's just gone out there and he's just hitting tennis balls, and he's managed to have, you know, a pretty solid career.
In the past, it was like he just went out and hit.
He's just going out and hitting. I mean, he's just being incredibly athletic and he's just going out and hitting. And you know, I think that with the athlete that he is and his ball striking ability, that's going to win him a lot of matches on tour. I mean, I will tell you, the first time I ever saw the guy hit live, so I'm at Brisbane, this is 2.5 years ago, no, longer than that now, I guess, 3 years ago, almost three years and 1 month. I'm in Brisbane, and I'm walking around by the practice courts, and I was waiting, hoping to catch a little glimpse of Federer's practice before his doubles match, and I just, out the corner of my eye, I saw a ball flying, and this, when I say flying, I don't mean flying like flying over the fence. I mean, this thing was landing in the court, but it was moving, and it was heavy, and it was going very, very, very fast. And I look over, and I had to kind of... He was playing on one of the courts that was kind of sequestered off, and it was very hard to see inside of, but I kind of peeked through a gap there, and I saw Dimitrov running a practice. And, I mean, the guy hits an incredibly explosive ball. On a level like, look, we see a lot of these guys playing on the ATP Tour, and obviously they're very good players, but when we look at the pace of ball and the heaviness of the ball, you know, I really think about there being two tiers of player. And at your top tier, you have your Federers and your Nadals and those guys that just hit an incredibly explosive ball. And then you have that lower tier of guys who just, you know, hit a good ball and they make a lot of shots and they play reasonably smart tennis by and large. And Dimitrov, to me, is in that upper tier. I mean, there's just something special about the way he hits the ball. It's incredibly, incredibly explosive. And so... He's gone out in the past, and I think he's just won a lot of matches just by being a good athlete and having good technique. And this year, we've seen something completely different. This year, we've seen him go out and play matches with a very, very clear game plan that he is adapting to his opponents, to specific opponents. And you know who we have to give a lot of credit to that too. You going to fill in the blank for me?
Danny. Yeah.
Right? I mean, well, so he changed coach?
Danny Valverde. I mean, obviously, the coaching changes. It seems clear that, well, let's say this. Obviously, he's making different choices on the tennis court. As mm-hmm. coaches and as, you know, just as someone who's just studying these guys, right? It seems clear at this point that the appropriate thing to do is give at least some of that credit to Valverde.
Right.
How much and exactly what they've done, you know, we don't really know.
For sure.
So you don't want to take it away from the player, et cetera, et cetera.
Well,
but
I mean,
like,
part of it, I think, you know, we can give Dimitrov credit for hiring a better coach.
Yeah, well.
You know, or a better fit. Let's just put it that way. You know, yeah. I mean, what we've seen from the start of this year, I mean, the reason that I made this call, actually, it was right after the Brisbane Open. Dimitrov won the tournament. and that was when I started saying I think he's going to have a big year. I think things are going to happen for him now. Was actually just on at the time the strength of two matches, two results, and those were the semi final and then the final that he played in Brisbane. So in the semis, he's playing guess who? Do you remember?
Wait, no,
in Brisbane.
I don't.
Milos Raonic, right? So he's playing Raonic. I mean, look, so he beat TM in three in the quarters, which obviously a good outcome, right? I mean, TM's obviously a very, very good player.
Right.
But, again, you know, the guy's had some very big results over his career just because he's such a phenomenal athlete. And if he goes out there and hits the ball well, you know, he's having a good day, you're just going to have a rough time against him.
Mm-hmm.
But then when he played Raonic, that was when I really started to sit up and take notice, because he came out against Raonic and he had a very cohesive game plan. And he came out and he stuck with the game plan from start to finish and executed it. And it was impressive. I mean, he used his slice backhand extensively and got great depth on it and essentially played Raonic out of position. He abused the big man's movement with a slice backhand. And I thought, that's great. You know, it's great to see him come out and play a match like that. And then he comes out and plays a score in the final, and he's hitting over backhands and using the topspin backhand, along with obviously the big forehand and the serve, to dictate play to, you know, the smaller, less powerful opponent. So that was my first, I sat up and I took notice, because this was not a Dimitrov that we've seen before, where in back-to-back matches he played, to me, vastly differing matches, but there was still the common thread of using play to set up his forehand and finish with his strengths. But, you know, there was an adaptability there that we'd never seen before. And then he carries that right into the Australian Open. I mean, and so you watched, hopefully, some of him play at the Aussie Open, and obviously he played lights-out tennis. I mean, he's worth
yeah, he did. I mean, he didn't play great in his first round. And honestly, he didn't play great. His first round, he played an Aussie wildcard, O'Connell. And he got through that match really without playing well at all. I think that's a match that he would have dropped a set in the past. And it was pretty routine. Like, he did serve well. I mean, O'Connell, I think he lost one point. He won like 48 out of 49 first serve points.
Yeah, that match was ridiculous. Yes.
Where it was like, this isn't even competitive. You know,
right.
Like,
yeah.
Like,
I mean, the score was 7-6, 6-3, 6-3, but it wasn't that competitive of a match.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
O'Connell literally won one point on Dimitrov's first serve in the entire match.
It's crazy.
Right.
Absolutely crazy. And then he played Hyung Chung, the young Korean, and Chung waxed him in the first set, and then he came back and won 4-4 and 4,
right,
which is actually a good win. I mean, Chung can give him, I mean, as noted by a 6-1 first set, like, if you followed Chung and if you've really seen him play, you realize that this is that's not like a shocking thing. That wasn't an accident.
Right.
That's a guy who can give him trouble, because Chung is very, very steady, like almost as steady as he gets from the ground. And, I mean, honestly, kudos to Grigor for getting through that match in a routine fashion after the first set without doing anything spectacular.
Right. No, didn't play lights-out tennis. And then comes out, manhandles Gasquet.
Yeah.
And look, we didn't see a lot of Gasquet. I mean, it's a new year.
Yeah, I don't think that was, you know.
It was a good result, but it wasn't, you know, that wasn't a sit up and take notice result for me. But then, you know, it takes care of Istomin, drops the first set, but again, takes care of the next three. Then Goffin straights in the quarters, 3-2
that was a
and
good
4.
Win. Really good win.
And then obviously the match against Nadal, which was, I think, a great match. If that had been a final, I think everybody, except for obviously it would have replace the Federer Nadal spectacular that we got to enjoy. But I mean, I think that could have been, if that had been a Grand Slam final, everybody would have left there happy with the level of tennis played and the spectacle of it all. So, you know, but that's great. You know, I mean, I think obviously he had a great 2 weeks there, a great week before that. But now here we are again, and it's another week. And look, granted, it's the Sofia Open, it's not, you know, a Masters level event. But he just comes out and takes care of business again. I mean, takes care of Jenowitz in the round of 16. He gets a bye first round. Takes care of Jenowitz in the round of 16. Look, wins in three sets. Jenowitz is tough. I mean, the guy comes out and plays.
Come on, let's be fair. That's not about who he's playing. He's playing at home in Bulgaria for the first time ever. He's never played an ATP event in Bulgaria.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure he played like a futures there when he was a kid or something, but
sure,
I don't know.
I
haven't looked that up. But it's the first like real big tournament that he's played there. That's, you know, he loses first set 6-4. That's just nerves. He's playing at home.
Well, and Janowicz came out like firing. I mean, that guy obviously has a massive serve, big forehand, yeah. But very streaky. But anyway, he wears the storm, gets through the match. Troike straight sets, Basil straight sets, and then Goffin straight sets and takes the title. I think he's legit. I think he's here to stay. I think we're going to watch him winning Grand Slams. I think he's going to get his first one within the next 18 months, and I think it won't be his last.
So, okay. So here's... If you want to say that he's going to, like, sneak out a slam, then, okay, that's one thing. There are so many places I can go for this that I don't know where to start.
Well, let's pick one.
As far as, like, first of all, he's – to win multiple slams, what you're saying is he's going to either just, like, kind of get lucky for 2 years and win, like,
no, that's
a
not,
couple.
I'm not saying
But you're
that
saying
at all.
Specifically that's not what he's
going to
do.
Yeah, I'm saying he's going to go out and just outright – win slams. He's going to walk up at a Grand Slam and just be the best player of that tournament start to finish.
So over the next 5 years, okay, we're just going to rattle off some names here.
Sure.
Sasha Zverev.
Right.
Dominic Thiem. We'll say Grigor, because obviously he's in that conversation. You've still got Rafa. You've still got Murray. You've still got Novak. You still have Wawrinka. Mm-hmm. Randich. Nishikori. Kyrgios. Lucas Pouille. Jack Sock,
yep.
Delpo is still around. Let's not forget about him. He's about to come back. You've got young guys coming up like Donaldson and Fritz and Shapovalov and Riley Opelka.
Sure.
I mean, that's more than 10 guys.
But Pat, let's be real. A lot of those guys you named are younger, and we don't really know what they're going to bring to the table when it comes to slam time.
I'm sure they're not going to bring that much to the table when it comes to slam time in the next, like, 18 months, which is why the one thing I'll say is, you know, if he's going to do this, I think he's got to do it over the next 3 years.
Right. Well, I mean, okay. But then the other part of it is, you know, we talk about the next 18 months, but I think also just looking past that, also a lot of those guys that you named are older and not going to be around 5 years from now.
Yeah, I think after 5 years, you know, Rafa falls out. Okay, fine.
We've said this before. Rafa's not lasting 5 more years on tour. I don't think that's happening.
Well...
And we can disagree about that, but...
I think people have been saying that. They said that 5 years ago. They said that 10 years ago.
Well, but I didn't say that 10 years ago. I didn't say that 5 years ago. I don't think Rafa has another 5 years in him. I don't think he's playing on the ATP Tour in 3 years.
He's definitely playing on the Tour 3 years
from
now.
Well, we'll see. But anyways, look, a lot of these guys are getting older. You know, Murray's not going to be in his prime 3-4 years from now. Djokovic certainly won't be. No. No, I don't think so.
I think Murray will still be up there in 3 years.
I mean, I think he'll still be up there, but I don't think he's going to be at his best anymore. I think at that point, Murray's lost a half a step to a step, and he doesn't have the tools that Federer does. He doesn't have the serve. He doesn't have the ability to fill in those holes with a big change in strategy. So, look, at the end of the day, what we do have is a lot of these guys that are proven and multiple slam winners that are going to start fading out of the picture. A lot of these guys that are up and coming and may have the talent, but will they have the mental fortitude? Will they do all the little things they have to do to go out there and be consistent slam contenders? Who knows? There's a lot of question marks about them.
I just think that there's enough guys coming up with talent on the level of Dimitrov and less holes in their game.
But what holes does he have, really?
So he's improving. We're all giving big improvements for, let's say, over the last, you know, 6 months or whatever it's been, is he's making much better decisions. He's playing tactically much smarter tennis.
Right.
It's like he's finally figured out some of the basic serve plus one patterns that all the other guys in the top 10 have been using for their whole career. What worries me is that it took him this long to figure it out. What gives me some pause and makes me think that, okay, you know, you're not actually crazy for going here, is that he figured it out when he's 25, where guys who don't figure it out usually – you know, I mean, they're not figuring stuff out when they're 25. So that means that, you know, he's really learned something. What strikes me is he goes about hitting the ball the same way ever since, I mean, as far as I can tell, he was 19. Now, he hits the ball really well, so it's not so obvious that he needs to change any of that. That's not my suggestion. But there's a question of what can he really improve? And it seems to me that all he can...
Why does he have to... Well, he just made the semis of a slam.
For the second time, and it's the farthest that he's ever gone.
Right. Sure, but, I mean, look at the tennis and the sustained tennis that he's played. If he plays like that, what exactly does he need to improve to win a slam?
Okay.
Why does he need to improve anything at that level?
he beat a wild card. He beat Chung, who's not even 100% and is still a very young kid.
Look, okay, let's talk about quarters.
He beat Istomin and Gofine.
Well, okay, sure. Well, Gofine, look, Tufin's at 11 in the world, and he manhandled him.
He did, and that's
Gasquet's the one thing. Gasquet's 18, and he just kicked Gasquet off the court.
Right, but
we know
Gasquet doesn't always show up there.
Right,
the match against Istomin was good. Istomin was playing
Novak.
Good tennis. Yes, I think. I mean, it sure seemed like Istomin was out of gas.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, I think by and large, you know, the moment Istomin started looking like he was out of gas, Dimitrov made him look like he was out of gas. I mean, 6-2, 6-1 those final two sets. And regardless, I think he's probably walking away.
I think that's fine. He's going to have to get through the Stan Wawrinkas and the Andy Murrays and Raonic. And pretty soon here, he's going to have to get through Sasha Zverev.
But I think he's perfectly capable of doing that. I mean, I look at the match that he played against Rafael Nadal, and I don't see any reason why he wouldn't. You know, if he can keep up that level, if he can keep serving the way that he's serving and come out and play targeted tennis the way that he's playing.
First of all, I don't think that he can. I don't think he can serve any better than what he is right now, and I don't think that he can maintain doing what he's doing right now.
But I don't think. Look, I think he can maintain, and I don't think he needs to serve any better than what he's doing right now. This is perfectly enough. But here's the thing: like, you look at Nadal's path through there, and Nadal did manhandle a lot of those names you're talking about. Okay, I mean, no, I shouldn't say manhandle because he didn't manhandle Zverev, but he beat Zverev, he beat Monfi, he beat Raonic. You know. And then look at the way that Dimitrov played against him. I think that he was at that level. I think Dimitrov played at that level. He's been playing at that level now for a month. I don't think it's going away anytime soon. And I just think you're flat out wrong.
I think that another place that you can go to undermine this claim or argument that you're making is I don't think that Grigor's serve is as good as you think it is. He basically, to me, hits a flat serve and hits his spots. And yes, if you can do that at 70%, or if you're
65.
Ivo Karlovic, then it's great. I know that. No, I'm saying I think if he can do that at 70%, then he maybe can pull off what you're talking about. I don't think doing it at 65 actually. I mean, it's tough. Like, I don't think he can keep hitting aces at the pace that he's been doing it so far this year. Now, if he's going to hit 1,000 aces this year, then, you know, I may have to revise that position. But, like, his service technique is not as good as Federer. It's not as good even as, like, a Zverev, who I don't really like. But the guy's, like, 3 or 4 inches taller than Grigor, so it makes it easier.
Sure.
You know, Grigor really, like, he's an incredible athlete. He's really explosive. I like that he goes for it, okay? And I could see him doing what, like, Cilic did and playing really aggressive and highly motivated, putting a lot of work in, and basically peaking at the right time. I can see that. I can see him sneaking out maybe a Wimbledon because of the grass, or a U.S. Open where it's quicker. I definitely don't see him winning at the French. I don't think
I don't think he's going to win at the French either. You know, I don't think that. But I just don't think he needs to rely. I mean, look, there's always a little bit of luck in winning any slam. I mean, I think there's always a little bit of luck in winning any slam. When you look at the odds, I mean, obviously a guy like Federer is not going to retire without winning any. But, you know, the flip side of that is, to be fair, I mean, Federer could easily have won 15. He also could easily have won 20 if the dice roll a little bit differently. I think Dimitrov is going to win multiple slams if he keeps doing what he's doing right now. And I don't just mean because I think he's playing out of his mind. That's the beauty of it to me, is I don't think he's playing out of his mind. I think he's done the work. He's continuing to do the work. He showed an actual increase and improvement in the way he goes about preparing for matches and playing matches. And one of the things I think I just want to point out very quickly is that, yes, he is 25. Yes, it has kind of, quote unquote, taken him a while to figure this out. But we've never seen this before, where we've had not just one, not two, but effectively four players dominate the game over a decade. It's been a very stifling environment in which to come up through the ranks and develop as a player and make your mark.
Yes, you know, absolutely.
It's very hard. I mean, I think if you compare the number of ATP Tour level matches Dimitrov has played at this point in his career to the number of ATP level Tour matches Federer played at this point in his career, Federer's played a lot more matches. He got a lot more matches under his belt. You know?
Yeah, because he won a lot more matches.
Well, exactly. But I think also, again, like, they had also the opportunity, in a sense, to win a lot more matches because we've never seen this before. We've
That's
never
true.
seen this before. You look at, there's this huge generational gap that, again, we've never seen before. You have those four guys, and then essentially, you, if you discount Dimitrov, which I mean most people have been doing for the last several years now, look how far down in the age gap you have to go to find the next, like, under 30 prospect who we think actually has a real chance at doing something. And you have to jump basically from 30 years old down to like 22 or 23, which is crazy.
Is that right? How old is Raonic?
Well, you know, okay, Raonic is, I think, 23, right?
Let me 26. Check
that. Is he 26 really? Dang.
Yeah.
It's that
so
baby
that's
face.
The thing, like,
and the hair. The hair throws me off. Right?
And he wasn't.
But I don't.
As good,
but the other thing is, I don't
younger.
Think. I don't think Raonic is going to win more than maybe one slam. I think he's going to be the flash of the pan player that you think Dimitrov is going to be. I think for Raonic, the stars do have to align.
Oh.
And then when everything comes right, he's going to sneak one like Cilic did. But he's not. He's not
so
going to be that guy.
So here's the thing to me, Cilic, like, Cilic hasn't changed his game.
Right.
He changed coaches.
Look,
he changed mindset.
Look, we just talked about Milos Raonic. But look. Let me cut you off here for 1 second, right? The difference is this. Nobody's talking about Raonic like he's going to be the next Federer. Nobody's talking about Raonic like he's going to be the next Nadal or Djokovic or Murray. That conversation has never happened because that would be lunacy. That's crazy talk, right? Nobody said that about him.
Nobody's talking about Grigor that way now.
Well, now they're not, but
they
were
talked
once
about
upon
that way
time.
When he was
yeah,
17.
Exactly.
But people are talking
and 19.
About Shapovalov like he's that way.
Well, that's, but
he's
that's
not.
But that's really kind of what I'm getting at here is, given that nobody talks about Raonic like that, the gap from you know your current generation of greats that we have to the next generation of players that people talk about like they might become that good is almost 10 years, and we've never
yeah.
seen that before. There's sure. always been a fairly smooth transition of power where you get, you know, your Sampras retires and then Hewitt steps into the gap and then Federer steps into the gap. You know, we've had this steady stream of champions. We've never seen this before. And I think you have to take that into account when you examine the phenomenon that is going to be Grigor Dimitrov as he forges forward and wins multiple slams. And I know you disagree with me, but look, this is a chance for, I think, any listeners to email us and chime in and share their thoughts. You know, Glenn at technical.tennis.
Jacob at technical.tennis. And we're going to have to revisit this over the years.
Yeah, I think we will. You know, but reach out and let us know what you guys think. Agree or disagree. You know, feel free to ask any questions and we'll be happy to answer them on next week's podcast. But thanks for tuning in and have a great tennis week, everybody.
See you guys.